We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That pig was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I'm your host, CT Schwenk. Thank you for joining us this Thursday, April 14th, 2016, in the nation's capital. Before we get started, you can follow us at Zardcast. Zardcast.com is the website. You should subscribe on iTunes, Overcast, Downcast, and Google Play. But most of all, just tell a friend. There aren't that many of these coming your way this season, so we're pretty much at the end of our rope. The plan is, I think, I haven't really discussed this with anyone but myself, but we'll do the pod tonight. We're going to figure out a time to do an end-of-year Zard party, and then we will go drift off into the off-season, and we'll come back when there's things to talk about. Does that sound good to you, David Keffer?
Yeah, works for me.
Excellent. Duncan, perfect or off?
Yeah, doesn't sound as good as if they were in the playoffs. We could just keep doing it, but
that's true.
Sounds good for what we got.
I think last year was the first year we did the podcast, and we had a good amount of fun going. We went to some of the games. We were like going out and celebrating afterwards. We were doing the pod after sitting here in the living room, hammering beers. It was excellent. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't exist anymore. So we have a bit of a post-mortem Wizards pod to do tonight. Rest in peace, 2015-16 season. We didn't record last week because we kind of wanted some finality to the whole thing. I guess we would have recorded last Thursday, and they still had to play Detroit at that point. They hadn't been officially eliminated. So we were like, okay, let's just... There's not much to see here. And there indeed wasn't, as they lost to Detroit on Friday night. That ended their playoff hopes. And here we are, just a couple of meaningless basketball games behind us. No John Wall in our lives. It's a sad day. I guess not completely sad, because Rennie Whitman's gone. There's so much to talk about. I don't even know. I mean, I guess Whitman firing is probably tops of the list. But I think just in general, I want to say NBA... It's got to be one of the most entertaining leagues in the world. I mean, all the storylines, like the Wizards are interesting enough. I mean, we're coming off the back of the Kobe finale, which why I didn't like his tour. The finale was great. That was fun. And then Golden State, obviously, 73 wins, NBA record. Duncan, you had a kind of a weird time figuring this big news out. It was like the talk of the world today.
And I had my ears closed, pinned shut. I was going to be away from home last night. I was with my girlfriend, and then my roommate was with his girlfriend. So then we both had off today, so we figured, all right, let's DVR that Warriors game, not get on Twitter or the internet, and just watch the game tomorrow, which is exactly what we did. However, even though that plan was executed perfectly, what we didn't think about was that Kobe would go ahead and shoot 50 times and score 60 points, and we would have wanted that and recorded too. So we missed out on the game that was actually the game to watch.
I was really concerned about you today when you sent that text. I was like, I haven't seen the game. I was like, man, how are you going to like go about your life without finding out about these two awesome things that happened last night?
I was literally watching a replay of the Golden State game in the lunchroom when I got that text message. I could not believe it.
I mean, this is something I do a lot. I often do the DVR and then I just go... social media, internet blackout, and I don't check it till I watch the next day, and then I can rejoin society afterwards.
Like which we're going to do here, which reminds me, you should pick up the remote there. We're going to be on a Capitals Flyers blackout. As if you're familiar with the show, Duncan, Philadelphia, born and raised, not really, more like in Delaware, but...
Well, no, it's inaccurate.
Just like Joan, but...
Would you like the local or the national?
The local,
just
please.
Do both, man. That's the beauty of the X1 DVR.
Who is our presenting sponsor tonight, Dave? Would you like to explain?
It's Comcast Xfinity.
All right, then.
Xfinity. It exists for your excitement.
God, you can't beat that last button function when you just... especially when you're watching multiple games, it's just, it's unbeatable.
It is good. And the sports button that pulls up every sports game, that's nice too.
Fabulous. Fabulous stuff. Okay. So we're going to talk all manners of dysfunction tonight. After we get through this Wizards talk, I want to get Duncan's take on Sam Hinkie as well. We'll talk Chicago Bulls dysfunction. But between now and then, there's a lot of much to discuss. The Wizards aren't playing, but we're jam-packed with news here. Obviously, the biggest thing going on is Randy Whitman. He is relieved of his duties as Washington Wizards head coach as of probably immediately after last night's game. Pretty much throughout the week, we've been hearing reports of this. I think Brian Windhorst was the first among them. Jorge Castillo pretty much anchored down all those nails on Tuesday. And actually, when I was typing up this note sheet for us, I was like, I'm dying for some good locker room gossip. This is what happens. The coach is out. And we talked about this, I mean, last time we potted, Dave. We don't get a whole lot of, like, mm-hmm. Locker room trash talk. And we got some incredible locker room trash talk. John allegedly cursing everyone out, throwing a fit. But then people are saying it's not true. They denied it, of course.
I mean, I find that pretty credible.
Yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't like, I think the deal was like they canceled practice or something. Like, even if that didn't actually happen, like, that's fairly believable. Like,
I don't really have a problem with it either.
Yeah, well, of course not. He's the star. He can, I don't know. John Wall's getting a lot of flack. We'll defend him later as well, but.
And, you know, if you're ever going to yell at your head coach, the time when it's, most acceptable, the season's already over. They're eliminated. You know,
right.
He's not playing anyway. He's been sitting out. He's reportedly going to get fired, so fuck it. Just yell at him then.
Plus, it could have been, like, an emotional thing. Like, John is just trying to hide his sadness about Randy leaving by yelling at him and being mean. Like, one of those, get out of here. We don't want you anymore. You got to be mean or
like
else.
Like a dog.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's one other, Schwink, you were trying to highlight the positives. Kef, you're going to get to, start hanging out with John again, right?
That is very true. Well, maybe. I know he cut you out for the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be kind of awkward, when we first see each other again. But when you're bros like we are, you just kind of fall right back into it. I think we'll be playing 2K and jonesing on each other in no time, I think.
Who gets to be the Wizards when you guys play 2K?
Neither of us are the Wizards. That's agreement that we've come to.
Good call. Well, I'm excited for you. Hopefully, when we come back during the summer, you can keep us updated on your summer exploits. Probably a lot of pool parties on the list, I know he lives out in LA during the summer, so some visits out on the West Coast.
It'll be interesting to see how he's changed, how this experience this year has,
hardened him, maybe.
I don't like to think in those terms just because he's such a gentle and, kind-hearted guy normally, but maybe it is. Maybe, it's when somebody gets out of jail and they're, a totally different person.
Who's more gentle and kind-hearted, John Wall or the gentleman on our TV screen right now, Chappie?
That's tough.
Chappie the robot.
Chappie's pretty. He's a sweetheart, right? Like that spit.
I think so. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen the movie either. It's okay.
I think they both have a lot of faith in other people, and they really just believe that people are inherently good. But I think John Wall comes to that from some hard fought wisdom, whereas Chappie just doesn't know any better because he's a fucking robot. So, so I think John wins.
Yeah, I don't see Chappie handing out suits to high school seniors for prom.
I've never once seen Chappie do that.
People say a lot of good things about Chappie, but do we ever actually see those good deeds?
And if he didn't do it in this feature-length film that they made about him, he never probably did it.
Right.
That would be a major scene.
Yeah, John's out there in the public light.
So really, fuck Chappie.
Yeah, that's the moral of this story. Also, Randy Whitman, gone. We want to talk there's so many ways. I mean, we knew that he was going to go. The big question was, is Ernie Grunfeld going to go? He's clearly sticking on board. He's like the cockroach that never dies, you know? He's like, no matter what happens, whatever goes down, no matter all the napalm you drop on him, he survives. And so he's at the helm for the coaching search. We could run down names with that. I mean, it's a whole tangled web here.
It really is wild that that guy still has his job.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like at this point, there just needs to be a regime change. Like, it happens in every sport for every team at any given time, really. Like, sometimes you got to wash your hands of things. And, I mean, he's been around for 15 years. Like,
right. That is a long time. Yeah. And,
So, he was the one at the podium today talking or explaining the decision to fire Randy Whitman. I wrote these notes again on Tuesday, and I was like, will we see a teary Ted Leonsis up there bidding them both goodbye? Unfortunately, that fantasy didn't come to fruition. So
is there a teary version of Ted Leonsis out there? I don't think that exists.
I mean, he doesn't have much I don't to
think,
cry about.
Yeah, I think he's doing all right. I don't think much gets to him.
I did see that he's like mentioned before. He's like, oh, you know, whatever I say on Twitter, like, people are just going to attack me about Ernie Grunfeld. Mm-hmm. And he did it today. I mean, he was like, my goodbye to Randy Whitman.
People then, just like the first five responses, they were just like, Ernie, fire Ernie, fuck Ernie.
Oh, man, the internet is the best.
I'm sure there were a bunch of my wife left me was probably the only more popular response than please also fire Ernie.
So we're all in agreement that Ernie probably should have been shown the door with Randy.
Yeah, for sure.
I will, just to throw it out there, I will, you know, recently he's made moves to, you know, try and improve the team. It has somewhat worked out. I would say that his, like, you can question, like, how he does it, which I certainly do in regards to the draft and everything, but he hasn't been the worst, but I just think it's just long time for just a new, fresh face, some fresh ideas. So I will give him a sliver of credit for, you know, doing what he can with what he had. I mean, what he had was what he had sown for himself. But
right, it was all his fault.
Right. I feel like he could go somewhere and be, you know, a decent GM for a while. I don't think that he's like...
He could be if no one let him draft anymore.
Yeah, I think that's... I mean, that's definitely his biggest problem. Imagine if he, like, had things to trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he other than just, like... draft picks, if he had real players, real assets outside of picks, he probably, you know, it all starts with the drafting, and it's just gone on for so long. Like, this whole thing is him.
He clearly just doesn't understand the draft, the value of picks, what you're supposed to look for. I mean, I'm sure it's a tough thing. There are plenty of people that aren't good at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to find somebody that can find value in the draft when you're not picking number one overall or like a no-brainer. If you're not doing that, I mean, it's never gonna work.
I'm trying to see. I mean, even like, I mean, you can always point to be like, oh man, well, he traded that, you know, five pick for Randy Foy and I can't even pull his name right now.
Mike Miller,
there you go. And be like, oh, well, Curry went behind him. But even like when he drafted like in the 20s, like there was one draft where there's like
Chris Singleton.
Yeah, just
well, and I mean, I guess you could put some of it on Randy and say that maybe he didn't develop those guys, but
certainly so. Yeah, absolutely.
But put it on both of them, get them both the fuck out of there because they didn't accomplish anything and try somebody else. What is like the downside of hiring a new general manager?
Right. It's just...
that the team goes into the crapper for 10 years? They already fucking did that.
And it's even crazier when, you know, you're seeing things that, like, Randy's, like, the most successful Wizards coach in 20 years. Like,
right.
That is insanity.
And he's, right. What, like, 30 games under 500 or something yeah. like that?
what's the danger? You hire a new GM and he pays Brad Bielema max and he turns out not to be any good, and then we miss the playoffs with John Wall. That's already a thing that is like very likely to happen anyways.
Right.
And yeah, Grunfeld's the total like safe option. We were talking about Woody. He'd definitely get hired immediately somewhere else. I feel like he's the total vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Just will make basic moves. Just continue on with, you know, not actually do anything noteworthy or innovative or
would you take him as the 76ers GM, Duncan?
Well, they've already hired someone, so.
I am aware, but if you could swap out who they've hired. We'll get to the larger discussion later, but.
No, I wouldn't really want him.
Okay.
But I think that's like exactly the type of team that would hire him.
Yeah.
Like a team that tried something and it didn't work, and they're like, all right, give me somebody safe, and they would hire Grunfeld.
You know what, though? I think it's crazy that we are keeping him because he is like that safe guy that you do to avoid criticism. Like if you're already like getting it from all angles and you just want to like have a profitable team and be fine. But the Wizards have already been criticized for the whole 15 years that Grunfeld has been here. So I don't see like the point in like they're not doing it as like a PR thing because no one likes it.
Right.
So what is the point of hiring a safe guy like that? You're already at your floor basically. What is
you're at your safest.
What is the point?
You're inside your safe room. Yeah.
And one of the least attractive names in all of sports. Ernie Grunfeld.
You just mean like how it sounds.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's not great.
Well, I think he is basically in the middle of this plan for them. They've like Ernie's set up all along for this offseason. So I guess because Ted Leonsis is just playing it safe, he's going to let him have his shot. And it is a big summer because they're going to have to sign. I mean, regardless of all the superstar talk and the Bradley Beal talk, you know, like anything about Kevin Durant or who they could get just behind him, whatever, they have to sign a bunch of guys to multi-year contracts. Like that is what's going to happen this year, this offseason. And you know, it's not exactly encouraging that he is going to lead this charge, let alone the goddamn coaching search. But, I mean,
look, I've been playing 2K on association mode a lot lately, and it's really clear what you do is you just kind of go really young. You trade all your veterans. You get really, really young. You suck for a year, and then you win, like, four championships in a row, and then you repeat. And I, you know, just do that.
You know, maybe you should drop your resume off at the Verizon Center on the way home.
Maybe I will.
It's 601 F Street Northwest.
Good call.
It's very similar to your address, which I won't say out loud.
Thank you for not doing that. We would just, we'd never be able to leave. There'd just be a horde of fans outside our door every day.
Thank God there is a legitimate fence around where we live, but
it was open today. I just walked. That's why my text, come get me, was followed up with, never mind.
That's why a lot of us in the Tenant Association are pushing for a moat.
I mean, there's plenty of room to do it out there, especially on the sides of the building, for sure.
Moat and drawbridge is the way to go, I think.
You're probably onto something. So we got Ernie. There's no Randy. Do you guys want to run down some of these coaching candidates?
Yes.
Okay, Duncan chamber has a bit over here.
He's fired up. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm just going to run through them. You guys can either voice your disdain, your praises. Preferably through a sound of some sort to begin with. So, the front runner right now, all the talk at the moment is Scotty Brooks.
Meh.
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 I think I'm a little on it too. I feel like it's such like a naked ploy to try and lure Durant, but didn't Durant and Westbrook run him off and Durant choose Billy Donovan to coach him in Oklahoma City? So why?
And wasn't Scott Brooks just like the rich man's version of Randy Whitman, where they were like, we would love to fire this guy, but they've just been too good, like successful that
Absolutely.
We can't do it.
But my meh is based on I have him above some of the other names, so it's like
I
don't want to give him the total buzzer because there's ones I would prefer him over.
I also don't like his glasses.
Too hip.
He's too small, I think.
I was
going to
say, he is a small man. Although those who argue his upside say player development guy, and I say, how could you not develop Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and Serge Ibaka?
Right.
But, you know, you're right, Duncan. I mean, he's better than a lot of these other names we're going to run through, especially this next one, Jeff Hornacek.
The, like, strongest I can possibly muster.
That would be a disaster hire.
He even looks like Randy Whitman. Like, are they just picking the person who is most similar to Randy Whitman? And, I mean, I don't want some, like, old, cranky, like, if he looks like my dad, I don't want him to be the next head coach.
And how are you going to hire a dude who had multiple like on-court disputes with a guy you just traded for?
Right.
And is, in theory, going to be a key piece of the team.
That's not really going to work. So,
But unlike Ernie Grunfeld, Hornacek, I find that to be a very attractive name, audibly.
You like the...
I like the soft C with the hard finish. Just my thoughts on it.
They should really bring us into these conversations.
You think? You think we'd have good insight for them?
Well...
If you can judge a man by his last name.
Or by how tall he is, or how much he looks like my dad.
This
those
is
are
good
important things.
This is good stuff. What about Sam Cassell?
I'm kind of intrigued by that one.
I am too.
So your noise?
Huh?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, ding, ding.
I'm into it.
What's yours?
Just more of a thinker than. Huh.
I wouldn't be mad if they went with one of these, with an assistant head coach and gave someone their first crack. I mean, at this point, it's kind of like, why not?
If you could bust out the big ball dance at a big moment as a coach, I mean, that'd be like a top 10 NBA moment probably all time.
And it seems like, I mean, Brad and John liked him a lot. Like, you know, he kind of played better with him on the bench. So
he's clearly been a candidate. Like, he's been being groomed to be a coach in the NBA for a long time. He played with a lot of really good players. I think that, definitely that, instead of some old retread that.
Right.
Agreed. What about old Mike D'Antoni?
That gets a lot of dings for me. If you're going to go the retread route, Mike D'Antoni's the one to go with, I think.
I think you're right. I'm a big Mike D'Antoni fan in general, that the Suns teams, him and Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, just the biggest soft spot for them in my heart. So I would be over the moon if they hired him. I don't know how great. I mean, we'd see John Wall run up and down the court all the time, and he wouldn't have to worry about playing defense anymore because that's just kind of optional with Mike D'Antoni. But
you know what? That is really a myth that the D'Antoni Suns teams were not like, they were always like pretty average defensive teams.
Yeah, they weren't like the worst, but.
Which is saying a lot when you have Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire on your team. You got to have some kind of like defensive ideas if you have those two guys playing defense for you and you still have an okay defense.
I'm going to go. I'm going to side against you on this one. I feel like kind of a definitely a big risk reward one on this one, but I feel like the percentages of the bottom dropping out on that are pretty high. I can, you know, he seems so just disagreeable with his last couple jobs. Like, everything just seemed to immediately go south and never trend back upwards. And
I mean, the Knicks were/are a disaster. Like,
and the Dwight and Kobe Lakers was never going to be a thing that worked.
All right, I agree, but I mean, those were talented teams. And
I guess if you're going to go with like a known quantity, you know, and of all these guys who have coached before, I say go with the one who most fits with the only thing the team really has going for it, which is John Wall. You know that he's going to like unleash Wall. That's the only reason. I think he's the best of the retreads. I'm not. Probably wouldn't be my first pick, but if you have to hire one of them, it would be him.
Let's keep going with retreads. Tom Thibodeau?
No. Fuck no.
What did you call him yesterday or the day before we were talking about him, Dave? Randy Whitman's older brother or younger brother or something?
Just like an angry squatter version. I don't think that really connects with this team. Anyone on this team is just like a angry workaholic who, and I mean, they didn't work in Chicago for the same reason. Guys tuned him out, and the Wizards have had a great defense before, and it didn't really do much for them.
Would he adjust even to like his whole problem with the Bulls the last couple of years was running guys into the ground, and Wizards have dudes who can't stay on the court with normal minutes.
Right. That's another thing is, what is he? Although, you know, once he left, it's not like Hoiberg did a much better job in Chicago. They still ran Jimmy Butler into the ground. He still got hurt again. And so I don't know. But
so your noise?
What about old David Blatt?
Blatt.
Is that your noise?
That's my noise. I don't even know if that's positive or negative, but you bring up his name and that's the noise.
I'd be down to give David Blatt a shot.
I don't know that we, the collective basketball watching people of the United States of America, know anything about David Blatt. I don't think he had hardly any fingerprint on the Cleveland team while he was there. He was just like a placeholder and kind of like they have to hire someone. And he was that person. I don't think I know anything about him.
Well, I mean, I think the reason they hired him is because he is, you know, he won like the Euro League and, you know, he was the top international coach like at the time. And
but they hired him before they knew LeBron was coming back. So
I think that's still a reason to hire an NBA coach.
Well, no. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm just saying that he never got to do what they were planning on doing. With
gotcha. Well, I'd be interested to see what ideas he had. I mean, it. These things, I mean, soccer is probably the only relatable thing. And, you know, these guys flop around from leagues all the time. And, you know, some are great and, you know, they stick everywhere they go and some don't. And
let's get Jurgen Klinsmann.
Don't even get me started on Jurgi, all right?
I could be talked into David Blatt, I think. I could probably, or talk myself into thinking that it was a good idea, probably.
I'd be super down on him, for sure. Him and Mike D'Antoni would be my retreads.
David Blatt, like, he's barely a retread.
Right. Because it sounds like he never even really got to coach the Caps. Like, LeBron was pretty much running the show. And
that's a nightmare. What about Monty Williams and another naked play to get Kevin Durant?
Dingity ding.
Oh! This is a surprise.
I like Monty Williams. I think he gets. I think he got a kind of a tough situation, made him look worse than he was. And I think he could be good. And players seem to love him. Like current, past, all his players seem to love him.
Everybody seems to love Monty Williams. That he's like a saint. And it didn't turn out so well for his successor once he left New Orleans. So. Maybe he is a better coach than people gave him credit for. Yeah, I mean, that's better than...
Is he better than Scott Brooks?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, all right. Here's two graspers for you. One, because I don't think he'd ever come here because he's too hot in demand. The other, because obscure assistant, but Luke Walton.
Swoon.
Yeah. That was good. And then Ettore Messina on the Spurs bench.
What about Ettore? Becky Ettore. Hammond? Is she not?
I mean, that would be neat. Not that there's nothing to do with that she's a woman. I just don't know anything about her as a coach.
I don't either, but I don't know anything about this Messina guy other than...
Also true.
If Greg Popovich puts you on your staff, I'm probably on board with it.
Yeah, that's. I think that should be everyone's school of thought, really.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well... Seems like Monty Williams, leader in the clubhouse.
Biggest suit game upgrade would probably be Luke Walton. Right? Any of these other guys?
I don't know about Messina. Is he Italian?
He's got to be Italian.
I'm assuming then that his suit game is pretty good. If we're going to go that, you know what? Let's get Derek Fisher in here. He's always got cool pocket squares and... I don't really know anything about college basketball. Is Kevin Ollie a possibility?
I've seen him on some coaching candidate lists. He's always rumored for the NBA. I don't really know how he translates. I'm sure he could do like a fine job. I mean, there's a lot of like terrible coaches in the NBA, so I bet he'd do okay. I don't know if he'd be like some sort of prodigy from the college coaching ranks, but
Miami's coach, Larrañaga, was linked to possible options.
I would be psyched for Larrañaga.
I think really the...
I haven't heard him mention the Wizards, but I heard his name coming up when...
I think really the only thing that I want is for the person that gets picked not to be picked because it's like the person that the Wizards assume they should pick. Like some... guy who's been like around the league, failed a bunch of places, like a safe pick. Just do anything that makes me think you have a plan, like an idea of what you want to do.
That is a very good point, Dave.
And Scott Brooks, Jeff Hornacek, like neither of them are any indication that they would have any plan or... And the same thing with Thibodeau, really. Like what your plan is just to be good at defense? They've already done that. It didn't work.
I think the Hornacek thing, I mean, obviously that's not, who knows if they're actually like talking to him or even like considering him, but I feel like if that were to like come out, that would just be, that'd be a complete disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, even the fact that they're considering him, I feel like that would just be so dumb.
And then the other thing, my number two priority is just not somebody that's a grumpy dickhead to the media, because that really upsets me. Like the team can be bad if the coach can like level with the media and talk to the fans, but if he's just a jerk that's like, well, you can't play everybody or something like smart ass like that, I don't like that.
Fair enough. So doing, you know, bopping around the internet today, I think our friend of the pod, Andrew Sharp, he had like the best, I thought his like post-mortem report on the Wiz was probably the best one I read. And he had a really good Wizards-Warriors side-by-side comparison, just to show, you know, organizations going in different directions. I'll read the passage to you, everyone.
Dramatically.
It's not fair to compare any team to the Warriors, but the parallels to the Wizards are undeniable. One team drafted Jan Vesely, the other took Klay Thompson a few picks later. One team drafted Draymond Green, and the other team, with fans screaming to draft Draymond Green, took Tomas Satoransky, a rookie who wouldn't come to the NBA right away and wouldn't cost them money. One team responded to a surprise playoff run by firing its imperfect head coach and spending big money to bring in Steve Kerr. The other team kept its imperfect head coach on an affordable extension. One team drafted Steph Curry. The other team was picking three spots in front of the Warriors, but they traded the pick for Mike Miller and Randy Foy. That wasn't very good, but...
Oh, I thought it was great.
You guys get the idea. So yeah, the Wizards, obviously not the Warriors, know what he is, but just... How easily things can split and go the wrong way, I think, is the big thing to take away here. So, just as a tying up to all this like big picture stuff, We haven't thrown this around enough, but gotta say, big fuck you to Ted Leonsis for your dumb practice facility. I don't know why we haven't ever commented on this, really, but basically pitching in next to nothing. You're worth $1 billion, sir. Like, you could pony up more than, I think he's not going to exceed more than $5 million in construction costs. DC, our taxpayer money will be straddled with 50 mil. Pays like a very limited rent on the thing too. It's all sham. Thanks to Muriel Bowser as well. Especially her. If she wants to come over and chat on the pod, we'd be happy to have her. Have a dish for her.
I saw your girl, Bowser.
Where'd you see her?
She was a special guest clue reader at the Jeopardy taping I went to.
Oh, man. Do you remember what her clue was?
I remember the answer to it. The answer was Alexander Hamilton. It was Final Jeopardy. Shit, spoiler, that episode's not until May 20th. Listeners out there, if you're listening to this, plan for May 20th. And before they even give the question, when they just do the category and go to commercial break, tell people, I got a feeling it's going to be Alexander Hamilton. And then you'll look like a genius.
It's a good plan. Wait, so how was the taping of Jeopardy more important than any of this?
It was a lot of fun. It was cool. It was like their power players thing. They get like local political type celebrities to be the contestants. They do it like once a year in DC. It was free.
Nice.
Tie Tie Baby. Just got the ticks. Just had to put the name in or whatever. But the best part was in between segments, Trebek would come to the front of the stage and just take questions from the audience for like 5 minutes.
That's pretty cool.
And he is just exactly the like grumpy, funny, kind of sarcastic, but in like a nice way, grandpa you would expect him to be.
I was going to ask, is it more or less awkward than when you watch on TV and he brings up someone's anecdote and you can tell that he's like super unimpressive? I was like, so Rita, you went camping once and it flooded.
That side of him comes out in some of the answer questions or question answers. There you go. He's a pretty funny guy.
You spent your night in a tree because of it. How interesting.
And then she's like, well, yeah, you just told the whole thing. Then, you know, moving right along.
Let's do a little This Week in John Wall.
Watch it. John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall. John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circus shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John.
So pretty much when we knew the season was over was before that Nets game when they decided to sit John. He was experiencing some soreness in one of his knees. And he didn't play again for the rest of the season, which is fine. He certainly deserves it. He hadn't missed a regular season game since 2013, though, which is absolutely bananas. And that was pretty much it, though. I mean, we said the Pistons game, they did win that Nets game behind a strong effort from Ramon Sessions. Yeah, that was pretty much when the season died, when he parked his tuchus on the bench. I don't know why I said it like that.
I liked it.
You went south with the season.
Oh!
Yeah, I mean, I honestly kind of tuned out, basically, at that point.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. It was already, it wasn't officially determined they were eliminated, but logically, reasonably, they were eliminated. So there was other basketball to be watched at that point.
After the Golden State and the Kings game, I think I watched a little bit of the Suns game. I watched the end of the Clippers, and they played one other game, did they? Or was the Nets game the one after that? I watched all the Detroit game, but that was like the last of like my full helping of Wizards. Not much to watch, boys.
Beyond that, it's just, you know, masochistic.
Absolutely.
Then you're just, what do you even watch? You just,
I do,
prolonging the pain.
I want to point out, and I think we need to defend him here, John's taken a lot of heat. And I don't really, if you read what anyone's saying, talk to anyone that watches the team every night, like, you know that, like, it's just not, He's not the one who should be. I mean, I guess he should take a little bit of flack, I suppose, maybe. You know, it is a team game and whatnot, but he's the best player on the team. And, you know, oh, man, his turnovers are up. Oh, dirt to dirt. Like, the dude plays all out every night. He's top 3 point guard in the NBA. Like, what the fuck else do you want from him? Like, of course, he never shoots well. Like,
his, really, his turnovers weren't up. They played a lot faster, and that's why he had more of them. I don't think he was turning the ball over more than he ever has. And then he shot the best from three he ever has. He shot pretty well, like, not even any qualifiers. He shot pretty well from three this year, like 35% on, like, four a game. That's more than you could.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you had told me that John Wall did that this year, I would be like, 10 out of 10, I'm ecstatic. That's more than I could have hoped for.
And then he shot like 42% from the floor overall.
I think it's just that he, his shooting efficiency was down because he took a shitload of shots from the mid-range, which he had to do because Beal was out for a huge amount of time. The offense was just like atrocious for a couple months there. I mean,
we talked about this when it was like ongoing, you know, like when so last year in the playoffs, when like everything's going right against the Raptors, like he's at his best. I mean, he's scoring a bunch of points, but he's also able to distribute the ball effectively when he has no one to distribute the ball to. And, you know, the offense has gone to shit. You know, we all said like, we're okay with living and dying by John, you know, taking on the offensive load. Like that's just what happened. And when that happens, the Wizards are 500 team, which is better than being under 500, I suppose. He can only do so much. I mean, shooting the ball, he's clearly limited to a certain extent, but that's okay. He's a great passer. He's a great floor general.
Right.
He doesn't need, his game isn't scoring.
They need a new offensive system. They need somebody.
For sure. I mean, the long two offense, are you kidding me?
And it didn't really get that much better this year.
There were plenty of long twos to be had.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not his fault. Who else? Paul George is the only other player in the league that is carrying, like, that amount of talent and taking a team to the playoffs. And I mean, he plays a totally different position than Wall does. He can like affect the game defensively too. He's a better shooter than Wall. So who else like could have carried this Wizards team to the playoffs? I don't think there's a lot of them.
And just so I pile on to our most favorite villain, Kyrie Irving. When people are like, oh, Kyrie Irving's better. Kyrie Irving can't win without LeBron James. Can we make that very clear?
He definitely couldn't have done it. I don't think there's any.
No, he's been like the leading man on teams before, and his teams have been far below 500. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
I think all the struggles he's had to not be a ball dominating, score only guard have. I don't think many people are still. Are there really still people on the Kyrie over Wall
chart? I believe so.
I don't think after this year, because Kyrie hasn't even been shooting it well this year. But he's also been hurt.
I'm just angry. I would think on him.
I would think next year he'll be back there, but he can't. Yeah, he couldn't carry this team. Nobody other than.
It's hard to carry a team as
right
a point guard. Like when you're like an awesome scoring power forward, like LeBron James or Kevin Durant, like it's good times. But if you're not like a, you know,
right,
even it's hard for James Harden to carry a team. You know, like. He
had Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know.
They squeaked into the playoffs.
They have the same record as the Wizards.
Just silly. I just get fired up, man. I just, a lot of flack on him. A lot of shitting on John Wall, and I don't know. I don't think that, like, all the Wizards, like, injury losses is, like, I mean, it's definitely, like, an important part in the story of this season, but, like, there are a lot of games that they should have won that, like, you know, regardless of that.
You know what? That's a good way to get your best player to demand a trade is to have a bunch of people talking a bunch of shit about him.
Yeah.
Luckily, I don't think that has happened too much.
Slumdog Millionaire just got shot in the back.
So none of us have seen this movie, right?
No.
Well, we're
not.
Seeing it now.
Huge Jackman tries to take Chappie, and Slumdog Millionaire is trying to help him out. But then this, like, I don't know, white trash couple, I guess, is also kind of helping him out.
They're a band. Like the real people. What do you guys know what the band is? It's like Die.
Die Antwerp?
Yep. I don't know if that's. Is that it?
That's. I think that's a thing.
Well, that's them. Oh. These weirdos.
Well, it's nice of them to help out Chappie. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to get out of this, though. They're just got bullets coming everywhere.
I really have come to love Chappie. Like, he's family.
Would you trade a second rounder for Chappie?
Absolutely. The Wizards don't have
nothing about his basketball proclivity.
You know what? Even if there's a good chance that Adam Silver would say that he's not allowed to play because he's a robot, I would still do it. He probably is such a good locker room guy.
What if Chappie was allowed to play, but then three games in, they discovered he was wearing a Fitbit every game and they banned him from the league?
That'd be preposterous. I feel like he's just trying to keep track of his in-game, you know, well-being. Yeah. That would be rude. We're running out of time here, guys. And I want to get to...
We got a timer on this episode?
Schwing's got a hard out.
I got things to do.
Okay.
Because I guarantee this last portion will eat into that. So, Duncan, your 76ers, they fire Mr. Hinkie, Mr. Analytics.
Mr. Hinkie.
He goes on to write an insane, 13-page manifesto defending basically everything he did and quoting a lot of insane people in it. And the people demand to hear what you think about it.
I hated the forcing out of him, and I loved his 13 pages.
Wow.
So, I mean, I've said on here before, like, from at the start of the whole process, the intentional tanking, I hated it. I don't want my team to just be losing on purpose. But once you're going, you got to go. You got to do it. So, to me, it seemed like to bail on that before seeing it through to its completion. What I don't know when that would be, but at least he had mentioned in the past like a 4-year plan. So at least one more season.
Another season of winning like
15
games.
Well, I don't know if it was another season winning 15 or if this was the last season winning 15 and they have the potentially up to 4 first rounders in this one. So maybe next year will be a tick up and then contending year after that. I don't know. Probably that wouldn't happen. But I think if you're going to be okay with your team losing that much for that long, just do it one more time and let him try his plan. And the way the claim is the NBA didn't force Jerry Colangelo on the Sixers. If that's the case, then the Sixers owners just went chicken shit and were like, and they bailed on it, and that sucks. Or if that's not true and the Sixers just forced that hire or pressured it, then that's fucked up too, because just, you know, they weren't.
Don't you think it's possible, though, that they just said, okay, this guy was great at tanking the team and collecting a bunch of draft picks? And perfectly willing to be the scapegoat, but he kind of sucks at drafting. So now that this is the year when we really have all these draft picks, let's get somebody else in who has drafted a lot of like really good players.
Yeah, I do think that's valid, and he has. I don't know that he sucked at drafting though. I mean, it depends because I don't know that moving one of those big men isn't still part of like what his plan was. I feel like there's market value for Noel, definitely Okafor, and if Embiid is able to play, then him too. Like I don't know that,
but I mean, I think there's a good chance that Noel is going to be the best player that he drafted. which is a failure, I think. If you have that many like early lottery picks and the best you get is a guy that is probably not like a starting center. He's a good player, like a good defender. He can maybe be a starting center on a good team, but like probably. And if like your whole bit is that you get the draft picks and you get more shots at it, you got to take Porzingis over Okafor.
Yeah.
Embiid might never play or like never be like a valid or like a guy who he hasn't played in what 2.5 years at this point.
Yeah, my Embiid jersey's still just waiting on the hanger. Just taking up space in my closet.
Oh my God.
No, not really, but I will buy.
I was really hoping you had a real Embiid jersey.
I'll buy one the day he gets on the court.
But Colangelo has drafted some good players and like he has made some like awful decisions, but he also has done more to like, I mean, he pretty much built the current Raptors team.
Yeah.
He's done more to like build a good team than Hinkie has.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like what you were talking about with the Wizards, though. Like you were talking about their coach hiring. I want anyone who's going to have a plan. I want someone who's going to have a plan and do that instead of just be vanilla, middle of the road and see how that works out. And Hinkie, maybe he didn't. Maybe it wasn't a good plan, but he had a plan.
That's fair. I think that his plan was a good plan. I just think maybe he's not the guy to carry out the second part of it. Like the actual like getting good part of it.
But as for the letter he wrote, that thing's just great. How I mean, what if
Man,
so
I hated the letter.
I love the letter. Mainly just like if you so he wasn't getting fired, but he was getting marginalized. He was getting pushed to the point where he was meaningless. So instead of getting fired, he basically had like a Jerry Maguire move. He was just like, screw you guys, I'm going home, and just like wrote all his thoughts on it. Wouldn't you love to do that? And still, I mean, everyone wants to, you can't fire me, I quit. Everyone wants to do that. He just did that, you know?
And he said, I'm sure I'll be repotted professionally. Such a like, I don't know, all of it just seemed very. And I guess if he didn't intend on it getting out, it's more...
Right.
But how do you not know that people are going to send that shit to Mark Stein?
For sure. I mean, it's like, it's crazy.
It is
like,
crazy.
I totally get it. And like, I agree with you, Duncan. Like, that's how everyone dreams about going down in a blaze of glory and just being like, fuck you guys. But like, the insane people that he quoted in there, like, come on. Like... If you just remove those from, like, of course everyone's going to make fun of you for that. Like, that is, like, the weird, like, caveat to all of it, but
I hope
I respect his move there.
I hope he finds, like, a nice investment or, like, another Bain Capital to work for, and he can make millions of dollars a year, and no one will ever make fun of him again. I hope he finds that.
He'll be off living on his island, and I'll... resort to what I do to relax is I draw myself a nice hot bath, I light a few candles, and I had a local actress record herself reading Hinkie's 13-page letter, and I just play that over my speakers while I watch Joel Embiid practice highlights from Qatar.
Because he can hit threes now. Have you seen him do that in practice?
It just calms me.
Well, I'm glad you're getting through this, Duncan. That's really what's most important to me.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Last minor thing, just totally non-Wizards later, just because we've talked about nothing but messiness this evening. Everyone in the Bulls organization hates each other. That is delightful to me. I really enjoy hearing that. See, that's like... what inspired me to be like, oh God, I want some juicy Wizards locker room gossip is all the juicy locker room gossip just gushing out of their workplace. It's excellent.
You know what? I hope it comes out that once everybody on the Bulls saw Nene about to put Jimmy Butler over his knee and spank him in the playoffs a couple years ago, they were like, we can never respect this guy again. And that's what led to their entire downfall.
So it's like, all the players hate Fred Hoiberg and like don't think he's like a good coach. Mm-hmm. They all hate Jimmy Butler because like fame has changed him, and he's like an entitled dick, I guess. And then they all hate the general managers who are like totally clueless, is basically what I gather to this whole situation. I've got a coworker who works in Chicago, and he like they're out on everyone. He's like, get rid of Jimmy, get rid of
That sounds right, because I hate all those guys too.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, finally, you're talking some sense. And then today, the GMs, they're like, you know, this could have just been like a political, like, put you in your place type of thing. But they were like, we'd trade Jimmy Butler if the price was right, essentially.
They're saying, he said something like, obviously you want to keep a guy like Jimmy or something, but we'll explore options or whatever, which is a crazy thing to say about the best player on your team that you just gave him. Max contract too, but
so yeah, good times, everyone. This is why the NBA is the best.
This might be something for like the next podcast we do, but what are we going to do about the fact that, I mean, if Nene's gone and Randy is gone, we're gonna have to make some changes to the opening.
Ooh, man, I didn't even consider.
Well, that's a pretty common thing, is for shows to have a new theme for a new seasons.
We can I can hook that up. I mean, 2 years on the theme song, I'm down to mix it up a little bit. We can plug some new clips in there. I like the top one. I mean, I guess just pulling them out in particular. Although the Nene and Butler butting heads looking at each other.
And strong. And you know, haters.
They could run the mouth.
I mean, if Nene retires, then we could be like, oh, he retired a wizard.
That's true. He could stay in that case.
I think maybe
he'll just join the pot.
Wow, that'd be a good pull.
We could get him from Brazil or Randy from Indiana. Yeah. I might have to fly out there and like set his thing up.
We could get Randy on.
I'm sure he'd love to talk about his former team once a week.
And what
that's basically what Mark Jackson does.
I was about to say, man, how brutal is that? That he has to call Warriors game. I mean, it's been brutal all along, but to have him do the game last night.
They made him do 73.
He did,
oh, my God, I didn't know
did,
that.
He did 73. Yeah. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
You know what, though? To his credit, he's done a good job. He seemed pretty sour at first, but he's done. I mean, I think last night he was like, who could you eat? They were talking about who's going to win the MVP, and he was like, who could you even? It's just a question of whether he wins it unanimously or not. Like,
there was one thing that came up, though, when it wasn't Mark Jackson that said it, was one of the other guys. Maybe Van Gundy said something about how it was like years of work in the making, and like there were a lot of people credit need to go all over. something like GMs need credit, the players who were in front of this team need credit, all this. But he didn't say Mark Jackson, but he kind of just said that.
He probably then, like, squeezed his knee while he did it.
And then Mark Jackson said, there was like a little bit of a pause, and he goes, well, yeah, obviously there's lots of credit to go around, and then just change the subject.
I mean, everybody made fun of him so much when he, you remember when he said, you can't, like, praise the butterfly without considering the caterpillar or something. I was like, shut the fuck up, man. So maybe we'll see Randy Whitman on TV in a couple years. And they're like, Randy, did you know this was going to happen, that they would be so good?
He will never. He would never admit to that.
He'll say, yeah, I used to be a caterpillar.
I can't wait for whenever he writes his tell-all book and he admits that he like went on the internet and read, like, oh, Paul Pierce at the four. Right. All right, gentlemen. I think that's really all we got time for. Other things going on this evening. Any parting shots?
You didn't watch it a year ago when it was in theaters, or since then, watch The Visit. It's a good horror flick. M. Night Shyamalan refinding his touch.
Oh, quick takes. OJ finale, amazing. Walking Dead finale, god damn it. I am such a sucker.
Does that mean it was good or bad?
It was bad.
Okay.
I agree on both of those. I saw Midnight Special. Definitely go watch that. I also saw Eye in the Sky last night. You're trying to get into an argument over dinner about the ethics of drone strikes, go see that.
I'm sure that didn't. You got to be a big fan of drone strikes, right?
Oh, I'm. I don't want to get into it. It was my fault. I started the argument, but.
All right. I think that's an incredible way to end the show, Dave. Thanks for sharing. All right. Well, we'll figure out the end of the year Zard party. If you subscribe and you follow us on Twitter, you'll know when that's happening. So until that time, for my co-hosts, David Kepfer, Duncan Perfect Roth, I'm CT Schwenk. That was Zardcast.